Should take your Bibles to Psalms 34 this morning. And boy, I tell you what, God's always got what you need from His Word. And I want to encourage you to read your Bibles privately, personally, as a family, whatever it may be, but get in your Bible. Please pray for me this morning as I preach. It just seems like I'm kind of, I don't know, skittery this morning or something. I don't know how to say it, but just need the Lord's help is all I know. I'm going to read just a few verses here, and then we'll pray. Is there a ring? Can anybody hear a ring? There's a little ring, boys. If we can get rid of that ring, I'd sure appreciate it. I don't have high-frequency hearing, but anyway, that ring bothers me there. All right. Now, I want you to read something underneath the where it says Psalms 34. If you should have this. It says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. How many's got that at the top of that chapter in your Bible? All right, that's good. That's really important because it tells you the time and the history of where and when this psalm was written. And so then you can go back into David's life and you can read that story and understand where he's coming from and what would have caused him to write what you're getting ready to read. And this is what David said. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord. I want you to pay attention to what you're reading here. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. David, again talking about himself, he said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Let me just stop there and again welcome those that are listening online and say to anybody listening anywhere, if you're like I was and I was 28 years old, you may know, something about the Bible a little bit and know about God, but you're not saved. If you've never been born again, you ought to just read that verse while I'm preaching. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. God wants to save people today. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross, is to save us. And I want to invite anybody listening to me here or online. Understand that we're all sinners. You're a sinner. You're going to bust hell wide open if you don't get saved. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You've got to be saved. That means you've got to come to God with a repentant heart and believe on Jesus Christ, that He died on that cross, shed His blood in your place for your sin, rose from the dead the third day, and He died in your place for your sin. He paid it, and you place your faith and trust in that. God saves you on that basis. Not on how good you live, not on whether you've been baptized or not, not on whether you give money, nothing else. God saves you on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And I want to encourage you to be saved sitting right in your seat today while I'm preaching. You can get saved anywhere. I've always said if that old thief gets saved hanging on a cross, you can get saved anywhere. But anyway, he said that verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning we bow again and just ask You, Lord, humbly and honestly, but fervently, Lord, for help to preach the Word of God this morning to feed the flock. Lord, I tell you what, there's a lot of speech making going on in this world, but Lord, there's not a lot of preaching. And we need, Lord, the unction of the Holy Ghost of God to preach the Word of God. Lord, these people have come. They're on a long journey through life. God, they come for something today. They come for food from heaven. And I don't have anything, Lord, within myself. But God, if You'll get up and rise, Lord, and give us manna from heaven, we'll have something when we leave this place today. We'll have something, Lord, to help us grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and give us strength for the battle and the journey. God, we need strength today to keep our homes together. We need strength, God, today to stand against the evil of this nation. God, we need help today. And I thank You, Lord, that all power in heaven and earth is given to Jesus Christ. And we lift up His holy name today, and I want to thank You, Lord, for bringing me to the place of realizing I was a hell-bound sinner, wicked as hell itself. And Lord, I thank You, Lord, that You convicted me of that sin. and made me recognize, God, that I separated from God. And Lord, that I needed a Savior. I'm so glad, Lord, for grace today. And I pray, oh Father in heaven, that you will bless this service. And God, that you'll just do all that needs to be done. I ask you, Lord, to bind this devil. Help, Lord, I pray, God, cause Heavenly Father not to be able to lie to people while I'm preaching. And I pray, ask God just to rebuke him, get him off this property, out of this place, so there'd be free course for the Holy Ghost of God and for the truth and for righteousness and the Word of God to go. So, Lord, just do everything that needs to be done. Fill me with your Spirit today, God, I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, David, here, I want to give you the background of this Psalms. We said to get the background of the Psalms, you need to go all the way back to 1 Samuel 17. Don't turn there, but we'll just talk about it a little bit here. That in 1 Samuel 17 is where David came at the direction of his father with food for his brothers that were in the war against the Philistines. And it was during that time he heard about Goliath. And he heard that Goliath was mocking the armies. And the Bible teaches you, of course, and just to be quick about it, David said, I'll go. And David went and he killed Goliath that day with that stone. And he went up, jumped up on him and took Goliath's own sword and he cut his head off. And David was exalted at that time and he was used of God. But I want to tell you something. After you've been saved and God used you and God lifts you, maybe to use you in some way or another, trouble's coming. And I'm telling you, from that point on, it seemed like David's life was just full of trouble all the time. So you need to understand something. If you get saved and you want to serve the Lord in whatever capacity of life that you may be, you're going to become a target of Satan if you get real about your faith. Now, if you'll just piddle around and play church and play religion and float and go with everybody and just go with the crowd, you're not going to have too much trouble. But if you get serious about your faith and you believe this book and decide, hey, by the grace of God, we're going to try to obey the Lord, you're going to have some problems. One of the first problems he had was that King Saul was jealous of him. The Bible says Saul was eyed David, and he had heard people praising David and all this, and he got jealous of him. The Bible said that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. So Saul begins to seek to kill David repeatedly, and oftentimes, I'm telling you, he made severe efforts, even so much as throwing his own javelin, hitting David, ducking and it, hitting the wall. You can read about this back over there in 1 Samuel. Now, so anyway, by the time you get to 1 Samuel 21, between 17 and 21, he has killed Goliath, exalted among the people, but then all this trouble comes from every direction. By the time he gets to chapter 21, he is running, he is weary, he is tired of it, and David has a bad lapse in his faith. Now, I want to say something to you that are saved here today. I've been preaching a while, you know, I got saved, I was 28, and I have done things, said things, experienced things, and thought things that I never dreamed I would do after I got saved. I've had battles and situations rise and lapses of faith that I was like, how on earth could a guy that knows what I know about the Bible, been through what I've been through, and still act like I'm acting and do what I'm doing? Has anybody else had that problem besides me? I want to give you some encouragement today. I'm glad that we're saved by God, amen, and we're not saving ourselves because there wouldn't be any hope. But what David does in a bad lapse of faith, and by the way, fear overtook him and worry overtook him. It just seemed like everybody, you know, wanting to kill him every direction. And he took off in 1 Samuel 22 and he goes down to an area called Nob, N-O-B, to a fellow by the name of Abimelech, who is the priest of God. And he goes down there and he asks Abimelech for bread out of the showbread there and he asks him if he has any weapons. Well, I think David knew that he had the sword of Goliath and it was wrapped in a cloth. Because David's getting ready to get out of Dodge. He's like, I'm sick of Norwood. Or I'm sick of Missouri. And I'm leaving. Okay? Just all this junk. How many's ever wanted to go someplace? Amen. All right. That's not unusual. But I'm going to tell you this much. Running is not the answer to anything in life. I'm not saying that God won't move you somewhere. God moves people all the time. But I'm telling you, in his situation here, he was running from pressure and problems and people. Now he comes down there. Now here's this David, this shepherd boy who killed Goliath, and he comes down to this priest of God, and he walks up here and he asks him, what are you doing here? And I'm going to tell you something. Before you could say jerk tail to a rabbit, David lies to him about four times. He asks him, what are you doing here? And David just started ripping lie off after lie. This is David, who you read about in your Bible, who has had a heart after God, who's a man after God's own heart, one of the greatest men in the Bible. He has a lapse of faith, and he starts running from his troubles and his problems, and he comes down at Nob and starts lying to the man of God. Well, he gets Goliath's sword, but there was a man there at the town that they were in, Nob, whose name is Doeg. And Doeg was one of the major herdsmen for Saul, the king, who was trying to kill David, and he saw all this happen. Doeg is an Edomite, an enemy of God's people. Saul was so messed up it wasn't even funny. He tells Saul that Abimelech gave David food and a sword. And so, now watch this. I'm going to tell you why a lapse of faith and getting yourself messed up is so dangerous. Did you know that Saul, when he found that out, calls Abimelech to him and says, "What are you doing giving my enemy David a sword and food and helping him?" Abimelech was innocent because David lied to him, didn't tell him the truth. He wasn't out trying to help anybody in particular or help David's cause against Saul at all. He just acted upon what he'd been told. But you know what Saul did there? He commanded his men to kill 85 priests, kill Abimelech and all of them, the 84 other priests. The men knew it was so wrong, his soldiers would not do it. "Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm." Those boys knew their Bible. But Doeg was an Edomite. And Doeg says, "I'll do it." And he killed 85 of the men of God. The Bible said a war to Ephod. That is men, a priest of God. That wasn't enough. Now you watch this. Saul further commanded that he go to their city. And they killed every man, woman, child, suckling, ox, and ass there. Wiped that town out to the ground. Over him helping David. Now you listen to me. How did this get started? It got started by David having a lapse of faith, getting fearful that God was not... Can you imagine? Saul says, "I'm going to kill you," and he gets scared, but hadn't God taken care of him up to that time? Yes. But let me tell you what, when fear hits in on you and worry hits in on you, you're going to start doing stuff you ought not do. And because he was fearful and worried and because he ran, 85 priests were slaughtered, little bitty babies were killed because this man's lapse of faith. When we have a major lapse of faith, it's not just going to affect a few people. It's going to affect a lot of people we don't even know. And so this is the situation. Whatever. So David then, when he left Nob and left Abimelech, he went down. Now this is unbelievable, but I've watched this happen in people's lives. And you'll do it. You say, "Man, I'd never do that." He went down to a place called Gath to a king called Achish. Does anybody know where Gath is? And who Gath is connected to?
Goliath.
Goliath was of Gath. David now is so out of the will of God and so messed up in his life that he not only is lying to the people of God, causing the people of God to be greatly damaged, hurt, murdered. By the way, let me just give you a side note. Isn't it weird that Saul in 1 Samuel 15, when Samuel told him to slaughter all of the Amalekites, wouldn't do it, but then turned around and slaughtered all of God's people? Yeah. Did the exact thing there that God had told him to do to the enemies of God in 1 15. Shows you how messed up and backward and reprobate your mind can get. But anyway, David goes down to Gath. Well, Gath is where Goliath's from. Now this is where you wind up. David is man of God. Troubles and problems of life come, pressures come of life. And he says, "Man, God ain't taking care of me no more. I'm going to have to take matters into my own hand." And he runs off down, mess up there at Nob, and from there goes down to Gath, and he's there. And without going to the thing, let me just kind of give you that. David, he goes down there, and first things he hears is Achish telling some other guys, "Isn't this David that killed Goliath?
Right.
Isn't this the guy that, boy, they're all talking about?" And David, you know what the Bible said? He became greatly afraid. Greatly afraid. I want to ask you a question. How is it that a person who knows better, like David, can wind up and be down in the very city of the guy you killed back over here on Goliath, way that far back? Why do you march straight into the city of your enemies? That's where lapse of faith and not trusting God will take you. Now, I love you this morning. I'm preaching this to myself. Whatever you do when hard times come and rough stuff comes, don't you leave God. Don't you leave the people of God. Don't you leave the place of God. That's the worst decision you'll ever make in your life. And you'll start making moves based upon your flesh and upon the wisdom of man, and it's going to get you and a lot of people you love in trouble. So David's down there. Now, if some of you know the story, when David realized, I mean, literally, I think David was so messed up, all of a sudden he's down there and he realizes he's here and these guys know who I am and they're going to kill him. So David does something. He feigns himself. He starts playing phony baloney and he starts spitting and slobbering and act like he's crazy. And the Bible talks about spittle running down his beard and he scrabbled and he starts acting like a crazy wild man. Well, Achish says, good land living, the guy's crazy, you know, get him out of here. And you know what? Just by God's sovereignty, he wasn't killed, and God shot him out of there. Well, David comes up there, and this is when this Psalms was written that you're just now reading. And he goes to a cave called Adullam. He's been through this big mess. And I'll be honest with you, it's here where David gets his life kind of straightened out, right in the cave. And I'll preach a message today entitled, How to Turn a Cave into a Cathedral. How to Turn a Cave into a Cathedral, because I'm going to be honest with you, we can all do it. We can sit here and say, David should have never done that, but if you're not careful, you do the same thing. There's people all over the country have done the exact same thing. By the way, did you know whenever God took the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, it wasn't no time they just wanted to go back into slavery? Wanted to go back down there for 400 years, they'd been slaves. Isn't it amazing what we'll do if we don't have the faith have faith and trust the Lord? But anyway, he writes this psalm in a cave, and after experiencing the mercy of God in every direction. And he turned that cave into a cathedral. And I had an experience this week that I want to preach out of this thing. I was having a horrible week. I mean, I preached last Sunday on Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I mean, I just had myself a rip-snorting day in the Lord. And come Monday, I mean, it's like I went down into the pits. And I mean, literally, it's like there was a spirit of fear come on me about issues in life, worry come in on me. And next thing I know, and so anyway, it takes me a while to ever get right straightened up. But I believe it was Thursday morning. I got up, and so I'm like, there's stuff to do, you know, and the weather's coming, you know, cattle and blah, 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 you know. And I'm thinking this needs to be done. And I think he showed up, and my Bible's laying there. And I'm thinking, I'm not even going to read my Bible this morning. And just like something, the Holy Ghost said, you better stop and take time to read your Bible. So I said, well, I guess I just have to wait. So I turned around and I thought, this is what I thought. I'll just read one chapter of Psalms. And I'll read the Psalms. I'll be a nice boy. So see, I mark top of my chapter so I know where I'm at. So I go to the book of Psalms and I'm at the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. And I start reading. And it's just literally as if God himself was just talking to me. Reggie, you're so messed up. You know, you've let yourself just get in a fizzy of worry and fretting and fear of this and that and how this is going to turn out and all this kind of stuff. And you're not living in faith. You're not walking in faith. So I got to studying this thing. And I read it. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I read it and I said, Lord, I sure do thank you. And so anyway, I'm going to give you three little points of the poem and let you out of here. Number one, I want you to see the first thing that David resolved. Look at verse 1 through 3. Listen to what he said. Now, keep in mind, he's went through all this stinking mess. I mean, he's been through a mess. Now, his life has been train wrecked from the time after he killed Goliath. It's been nothing but a mess. And he's made decisions that caused kids to get killed. That's pretty bad. How'd you like to have waiting on you that 85 priests were killed because you went down and lied to some people? How'd you like to know that a bunch of women were dragged out of their house and sword thrust through their kids because you lied to people, because you grew weak in faith and did not believe and trust in God? So what are you going to do? You're going to kill yourself? That's what a lot of people are doing to you. David said that's not the answer. He came up here to a cave. Now, caves are dark. Caves are damp. Caves are not a good place to be. But sometimes you're going to be there, but sometimes it's in the cave where God's got to get you straightened out and get you where you need to be. And this is what David resolved. I don't know if you've been there, are there, or going to be there, but you're going to be there, one of the, amen? If you're a child of God and stuff, experience life, you're going to either have been in a cave, are in a cave, or going to be in a cave. So I want to give you some things to turn a cave into a cathedral. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I got done with this, it's just like the lights came on from Glory Land. And I just, my whole soul was lifted. The burden was gone. The cloud was gone. The darkness in my mind was gone. The fear was gone. The worry was gone. And I walked out of the house saying, bless God Almighty, He's been with me this far. He ain't left me. Amen. And it just like changed my whole direction of the week. This one little psalm. I hope it'll do that for you maybe in some way. First of all, what David resolved. David resolved something. Look what he said in verse 1. I will bless the Lord when I feel good. What's this? What's your Bible say?
At all times.
I will bless the Lord at all times. You know what he said? I got worried and I got fearful and I got all jacked around and messed up by everything going on around in my life. And I got to where I wasn't blessing God only when I was feeling like it or got to church. God's teaching us something. We need to resolve something that no matter what's happening or when it is or where it is, what's going on in our lives, we will still bless His holy name. Amen. I'll tell you something. He's still God of the valley as He is of the mountain. He's still God no matter what's happening in our life. Let me tell you something. Not when the money's in the bank. He said, I'll bless the Lord when I'm broke. Amen. How many's ever been broke, by the way? If you haven't, you ought to try it sometime. It's wonderful. Amen. It'll make you get close to God. Everybody ought to go broke once in a while. Amen. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't take anything to bless God when somebody wrote you a $10,000 check. Everybody can bless God then. But it's whenever you've got a $10,000 check and $40,000 to pay. If you can still bless God. I want to tell you something. This is no joke. This man has, how many kids you got altogether?
Six.
He's got six kids. I am telling you, one of them I have not met because they're in this place. He has to have 24/7 day care. I mean, it's there's two diseases, right? And the odds of getting those are like unbelievable. This man's child has it. The other child, you know, just being honest with you, is in a wheelchair there at the house. Its body is twisted. Can't feed itself, can't do anything for it. You know, I'm just being honest with you. This trucker, you know, when you say you pick up a CD and maybe God speaks to your heart, we don't have any clue about what people's talking about. I mean, every bite that child eats, somebody has to push it inside its mouth. Huh?
It's actually through a tube,
okay. But anyway, I'm just saying it's bad shape. And I sit there in his home and eating dinner with them and watching this and realize they got another child that's way worse than this one. But if you can bless the Lord at all times, whenever everything has gone wrong, when you think it's all bad, this is where I want to get. I'm not kidding. I'm not there. I'm not preaching. I'm there and you're not. I'm preaching. I'm not here, there, and I want to get there. But I want to be able to bless God when there's no money in my bank account. Because I'm going to tell you something. If I can't bless Him then, my blessing when it is ain't mount too much. It's a God of prosperity. We need to, when the health is good or when we're sick, like I mentioned about there, here's the thing about it is, he's talking about, oh, I got a blessing out of your preaching. Man alive, I got a blessing out of being in his house because I'm sitting there saying, Lord, if I had two kids like this, how would I be? Would I be constantly saying, Lord, why, Lord, why, Lord, why, Lord, why, Lord, why? Or would I be blessing the Lord at all times? I will bless the Lord when everybody likes me and when nobody likes me. I'll bless the Lord when there's food in the refrigerator and when it's empty. I'll bless the Lord when there's power on the power lines and when there's not. I'll bless the Lord when I got a good job and I'll bless the Lord when I'm unemployed. I'll bless the Lord when I'm at church Sunday, but I also bless Him Monday.
Amen.
I'll bless the Lord when there's good news comes in my life and when there's bad news comes in my life. And by the way, watch this one. This is the one David needed to get. I will bless the Lord even in the midst of when I have failed God and am frustrated at myself. This is where David really needed to get. Because if we're not careful, we got this here unrealistic idea about being a Christian that we're just supposed to live so good. You know the only reason I have any ministry with anybody anywhere is because of my honesty about what I go through spiritually myself. I've had innumerable people say, Reggie, you're probably one of the only preachers in my life that I ever heard say, you have problems too. You messed up too. You had evil thoughts too. You popped off. You got mad. You did that. And that gives me hope. Hey, David needs to understand. Go back and read your Bible. These things are written for our learning, that we may, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, have hope. When I read about David getting messed up and doing stuff he should have not done, knew better, but still God loved him and still God worked with him, it gives me hope. So David said, I'm going to make some resolutions. He said, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. I wonder if you'd make that resolution in the morning. God, I'm going to bless the Lord whenever the truck broke down and cost $3,000. I mean, I'd be honest with you. If I was this guy this morning, I'd be sitting over somewhere. I said, no, don't ask me to church. My truck broke down, cost me $3,000. I'm just trying to get back home to Canada. I've got kids that's got health problems. You are way more spiritual than I am. If my truck would have broke down, cost me $3,000, I'd say, Lord, is this what I get for trying to get back home and get to church? Does the devil ever come to you and say, that's what you get for serving God? All the time. See, that's what you need to hear. You need to hear that you're not alone with your problems and pressures and all the junk the devil throws at you. Because I'm telling you, week after week you're going to come to church and the devil's going to tell you it's a waste of time, it's a joke, it's not real, it doesn't work. And by the way, the reason it's not working for a lot of American people, because they've been told that jacklegs on TV that if they go to church and give, they're going to get rich. And they're going to, and that if you serve God, you're going to be healthy and wealthy. That's not true. If you serve God, you're going to suffer persecution. People are not going to like you. I'm telling you, the devil's going to attack your cattle. He's going to attack your truck. Don't you just love to go feed hay? You're just enjoying, oh, here comes the cows. And the cows are running around them. And you're driving, you feed the hay. And then all of a sudden you look over, it's a dead cow. And all of a sudden, your beautiful day is shot. Cow dead. You jump off the tractor, run over, and the coyotes have been eating. You hate them coyotes. And now you're feeding that which you hate. I'm going to tell you something. You know what you got to make? You know what this country needs again? Some old-time resolving in our soul that whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. Whether it's good times or bad times, money in the bank, money not in the bank, doesn't make any difference. What's going on, healthy, not healthy, we're going to serve God, and that none of this junk is going to affect us. I tell you what, that's what Job did. That's exactly what Job said. The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job did what David said right there. I will bless the Lord at all times, not just when I'm feeling good, not when just everything's going right. I'm going to bless him at all times. Paul and Silas did that in Acts chapter 16, back whipped, put in stocks, midnight, they sing. Bless the Lord at all times. You see, what Paul and God wants us to learn is that if our God can't be worshipped when it's tough, why are we worshiping when it's good? Is he just a good time God, or what's the deal? And by the way, that's when your testimony is the greatest. Then he said a second thing he resolved. Look at the latter part of that. He said, his praise shall continuously be in my mouth. Mercy sakes alive. Whew. Now, if he would wrote, cussing or complaining shall be in my mouth when things don't go right, I'd have said, hey, I can understand that. David said, no, I'm telling you, David come back from Gath, got in that cave. You know what David's saying? What we need to say. I'm going to get some things settled. Just me and God right here in this cave, we're going to get some things straightened out. When some of this stuff's going to stop. I'm going to resolve some things. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, not just when everything's good, not just when the glass are falling. I'm going to praise him continually in my mouth. And then I got to think about this, thought about old Jacob back here, kind of like old Jacob, you know. Jacob didn't have this. And I tell you, it made his life miserable. I want to show you how miserable life can be if you don't get a hold of what he's talking to here and I don't get a hold of it. Jacob's a mature old man. You know what he says? All these things are against me. Few and evil have been the days of my life. Are you religious? Are you a man of faith, Jacob? Oh, yeah, I serve the God that created the world. But my days have been evil and few. Instead of saying, hey, and every day, all the time, I'm going to bless the Lord. Instead of saying, hey, his praise will continue to be in my mouth, it was that, can I tell you what it takes? Now, let me tell you what it takes. It takes faith to do this. You got to believe God when you can't see. By the way, you know, I was talking about General McAuliffe at Bastogne last week. Boy, I left out the best part of that. I'm going to preach it right now. You know, he was at Bastogne over there in the Battle of the Bulge, surrounded by Germans. Germans demanding that he surrender. Apparently, from everything you could see, no hope. Surrender or we're going to annihilate all of you in there. And they send this deal in, piece of paper, and he wrote in German, nuts. You know, he did. That's all he wrote. He wrote to response was N-U-T-S, nuts. Now, you know what that means in 1943? You're crazy. You know what he was telling the German general? You're crazy. I ain't surrendering. That's what you and I need to tell the devil. You're crazy. I ain't surrendering. I don't care if clouds are over. I don't care if it's cold. I don't care if snow's knee deep to a tall end in. I don't care. I'm not surrendering. I'm not giving up. Hey, tell the devil you're not giving up on your marriage. Tell the devil you're not giving up on your children. Tell the devil you're not giving up on your faith. Tell him you're not quitting praying. You're not quitting reading your Bible. You're not going to quit going to church. Tell him you're not giving up. Tell him he's nuts. But let me tell you, you say, but Reggie, how could McAuliffe do that? I'm going to tell you how McAuliffe do that. Same way you and I can with God. There was a super heavy cloud cover over Germany at that time. And our planes could not come in and bring anything in. And they just told him, said, until the cloud moves, we can't send the planes in. But here's what McAuliffe knew. That over across the Atlantic, there was a country called the United States that had more power than those German generals and had more resources. And though he couldn't see them, he knew they were there. Are you listening to me? And that faith in that unseen power enabled him to tell the enemy, nuts, you're crazy. And did you know what will give you the strength is when you have faith, when the clouds are over your spiritual life and you can't see God, feel God, I mean, everything's telling you you're a hopeless, there's no way out, but you know God's on the other side of the clouds. And can I tell you all know what happened? A few days after Christmas, by the way, do you know what old McAuliffe told all them guys? He said, everybody celebrate Christmas in here. They had a little bit, you can look in history, you see, they found a little old tree about that big, decorated it, you know, had Christmas. Right there surrounded by the enemy. You know, you need to celebrate when you're surrounded by the enemy. God, if they only knew how defeated they are. Amen? If God be for us, who can be against us? It takes faith to believe that. I'm telling you this morning, sometimes you're just like McAuliffe. You're surrounded. The devil's telling you to fold up, give in, quit, all this kind of nonsense. There's no hope. But I'm going to tell you, beyond those clouds and beyond this old veil of human life that you have here today, there's a greater power. Amen? And by the way, the clouds will split one of these days. And if you've ever seen that scene, man, when them planes come in, man, those clouds split. And I mean, here come hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those go carrier planes. And they brought everything you could mean, mashed potatoes and gravy and army, everything else. But I'm just telling you, your God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And why he'd leave you surrounded by the enemy for a few days, I don't know. Maybe to test your faith. But I will tell you this, we need to resolve some things. David resolved some things. You know what resolve means? R-E-S-O-L-V-E-D. He resolved it. Amen. You know what you need to say this morning? I'm not running anymore from the devil. I'm not going to live in and be driven by fear anymore. That's what David was saying. I'm not going to be driven by fear anymore. Fear will make me lie. Fear will cause other people to get hurt. Fear will cause me to go in the land of my enemies. I'm not going to be driven by that anymore. I'm not going down to live in Gath and live with the enemies of God. I'm going to stay in God's country. I'm not leaving here again no more. God is bigger than all my problems. He resolved that I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. And I'm going to ask you today this question. What are you going to do with this message? Are you going to sit here and listen to it today? Or are you going to say, you know what I'm going to do? While he's preaching, I'm going to make some resolutions. I'm going to resolve today that I'm not letting Satan lie to me and fill my heart and mind full of lies and drive me to stuff and do stuff that I should not be doing. He said in verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. He said it's no more about how good David is. It's about how big God is. He said, I'm going to boast in God. In verse number 3, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now you say, Reggie, what is he getting to? He's resolving that he's going to have fellowship. He said, let us magnify his name together. We came together here to church today to encourage each other, help each other. And he's saying fellowship, exhort, encourage each other, lift each other. I want to ask y'all a question. How'd you like to come to church next Sunday? We have Sunday school Bible class time. And then as we stand and pray and dismiss, everybody come and sing, and nobody come and sing. What would that do to you? Come on, be honest. Let's just say Van got up and said, let everybody come, and not one soul in this church moved. Nuts. Thank you. That's right. Do you see how important what David's saying here? Let us. He said, you know what? You listen to him. He made some resolution. I'm going to hang around godly people. I'm going to worship God together. I'm going to be in fellowship, and I'm going to encourage, and I'm going to lift up. And that old song in your songbook, page 391, don't go there, but it says, I am resolved no longer to linger. And that's a good song. Amen. He said, I'm resolved. There needs to be some holy making up my mind business going on in our lives. I'm not going to wallow in the past. Some of you are wallowing in the past. If I'm honest with you, if I would let myself, I would just wallow in my stupid past. I'm going to tell you something. My sins are forgiven. Amen. There's no point in me resolving. I'll tell you what, I don't care where you've been, what you've done, how bad it was. I'm telling you, wallowing in it is not going to fix it. Get it under the blood. Move on. If God's forgot it, you forget it. Move on. Don't wallow in self-pity. Don't wallow in your failures. Don't waste your time on false friends who are gone. Don't whimper about how tough life has been. Resolve that you're going to straighten up, get up, man up, step up, and toughen up, and get on higher ground, amen. I'm telling you right now, we need to get a hold of this country. It's full of wimps and snowflakes and punks. Makes me sick to my stomach. Everybody needs a peel or a sock or a shrink. I'll tell you what you need, this old King James Bible. And you need the God of heaven of glory. And you need to know how to get on your face and pray. And you need to know how to seek the Lord's face. And you need to say, if the God of glory took care of these people, he can take care of me. Get some resolution in you. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, when I was a boy, I was a fourth born boy. And we didn't have phones. Stupid. We didn't have little games. I feel sorry for these kids. They ain't got Commodore to play in. Every kid ought to have Commodore to play in. Amen? I'll tell you, it'll make your feet grow good. Fertilize. I mean, honestly, goodness, you know? I mean, you know, I used to play with a stick gun. I made my own stick stupid gun. It was a limb, but it sure looked like a good gun to me. I could shoot you dead, but boom! And then I didn't have a horse, but I'll tell you what, I could slap my backside and run clear around the barn. Play like I had a horse. We had a good time. You kids don't know nothing about that. Amen? But I'll tell you what, when I was growing up, but what I said all that to say this was, half of our entertainment was fighting. You're just bored. You got all this energy. Hey, why don't you just let your kids fight it out? Get out there and fight. Outside, that's right. Nah, I don't mind fighting, but don't let big ones pick on little ones. Now, if your big kids pick on the little ones, slap that big one sideways, about make him land about 30 yards over there, and get up and say, you're a protector, not a picker on her. Okay, but anyway, regardless whether it's bad, good, or ugly, we used to fight a lot. And neighbor kids come up, cousins would come up, you know. And I'm telling you what, you know what my older brothers tell me? I was fourth born. You know what they tell me? If you let them whip you, we will whip you. That's a real fix. You try to circle that one through your head when you're about 8 years old. And here's the really bad one. I was little. I still wimpy. Never was no big guy, but just tall, skinny, that's all. But anyway, I was short even back then. And you know, invariably, my cousins were always bigger than me. Did you ever have bigger cousins? Yeah, okay. And they'd get on top of me. Now, we didn't try to kill each other. It was just, you know, kind of, but they still whoop you till you said give. So I'm underneath them. They're trying to whoop me. My brothers are standing over there. Don't you say give. Don't you say give. We'll whoop you. We're not want out of here. But if I get out of here, I'm into it. Liberty. Honest to goodness. So you know what I met in mind? Is not because in that realm. I ain't never giving up. Giving up's not an alternative. This is what David's trying to get across. I've let all this junk drive me and circumstances drive me. Ain't driving me no more. My God's bigger than all my problems. He'll take care of me. And if I die doing it, I'll go to heaven. It's whatever. I ain't putting up this no more. He made some resolutions. And you know what you need to make your mind up? You're not giving up. Do you know what I knew, Kenny, really? How many of you kids can guess what I really, really knew when I was underneath that guy whooping the snot out of me? Can anybody guess?
I'll get bigger someday.
I did think about that. I did that with my brothers. You know what I thought about? The real raw truth of it is, Lonnie, if they get too rough with me, my brothers will whoop their backside. Did you know the truth about Satan? Anything God lets go on in your life, he ain't going to let Satan tear you up. He may say to you, don't you give up, Kenny, don't you give up. Don't you give up, Lonnie, don't you give up. You give up. But you know what you know down your heart? That if God's on your side, Satan doesn't have a chance. You need to get that in your soul and get some resolution. Say, you know what? We just need some Christians anymore with resolve. That's what I'd like to see come back into the fabric of American Christianity is just some good old-time resolve. No, I'm not leaving my wife. No, that's not an option. Not leaving my husband. That's not an option. Yep. Then secondly, and like, oh, my goodness, it's 12 o'clock. No, I'm sorry. It's 11:31. I'm sorry. Did I see that right? You know why I like to preach past noon? To make Don Zinn mad. It's just such a joy and gladness to see his face back there start twisting and turning. And, you know, he looks back at the clock and I'm going, I like this. No, let me just give this. We'll try to hurry. The second thing in verse number 4-6, what David remembered. Number one, what he resolved. Secondly, what he remembered. And you're going to need to do this. There, he remembers some dangers that God had taken him through. He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You know what he remembered? He heard me there at Goliath. He heard me he didn't let Saul kill me. He started remembering something. How many can remember where God has helped you in the past? He has. And he'll help you. And David, you need to remember that the Bible's very strong on this thing of remembering what he said. I sought the Lord. He said, I remember how God took me from Goliath to Saul to Gath to Achish. All these situations I've been through, God has taken me through them. Do you know I'm 65 years old and God's taken me this far? It's been okay. It ain't been a bed of roses, but I'll tell you what, God's been good, and it's all right. He remembered the dangers been in the past. He remembered the direction. Look at there in verse number 5. And I want you to get this. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. That's what happened to me this week. When I begin to think about how good God has been to me, what God has done for me in the past, make some resolution, begin to remember what God did with me, things lightened up. Things lightened up. By the way, it said they looked unto him. In the New Testament, it says looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Let me give you some good advice from your Bible. Don't look at yourself. You'll get discouraged. Don't look at other people. You'll really get discouraged. That's right. God never told you to do that. God said look unto Jesus. He'll take you through. You keep your eyes on Christ, things will settle down. He said, it lightened me up. In other words, I think you take that two ways. It took the burden off and it put some light into my soul. Verse number 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Anybody ever heard a field kid in this auditorium? Ever heard a field kid? Well, if you ever listen to his life story, he was a drug head, weighed about 85 pounds, stringy hair down to his waist, popping drugs, selling drugs, every kind of thing you can imagine. I mean, people, all his buddies dying, his awfulest mess you've ever seen. And he got saved one night. And I've told you, I think you've told a story about, I've told a story about his aunt, his aunt and uncle, how they prayed for him. And he wound up into a church meeting one night, got saved, and I'll tell you what, he never has turned around. He's still preaching like a wild man today, and that's been about 40 years ago. But that's his life verse. Because you know what? He was going to prison. His life was wrecked and ruined. I mean, it's all about, he tells a story, don't let nobody know it, but it's him, the boy he's talking about the judge up there, not in Indianapolis, but that other time, in Ohio. But anyway, down there in the slums where he's raised at, he's talking about this judge, told me, said, I'm going to put you, he'd been before the judge so many times, the judge knew his size of his underwear. I mean, he'd just been the judge all the time. He said, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. I'm sending you to the pen forever. And one of his uncles, as I understand the story, got a hold of the deal and said, down in Mississippi, because that's where he's at from now, see, and he's a logger. His uncle is the one who sent up there and said, if you'll let him come down here and live with me, he said, I'll make sure he never steps in the state again. The judge said, if you'll make sure he never steps foot in this state again, I'll let you have him. Took him down there. Remember, that's the story about the Cheerios and the Fruit Loop cereal, about how his uncle started working him. It wasn't long until he cut that stinking long hair off. It wasn't long until he started eating some meat. Some of you kids eat that. Some of you kids are going to, your teeth, the dentists are going to do good by some of you kids. What's that stupid stuff they're eating all the time? None of you wants to say. huh? Candy bars. Yeah. But there's all this stuff. I mean, I'm just talking about, have you taken a look at American boys recently? I was waiting for that. I was waiting for somebody to say, not me. That's what I want. And I'm going to tell you what, he took him from being a drug head punk, lazy as a hound dog, steal worse than... still worse than the Reverend. I shouldn't say it. Anyway, still. And took him and got him out of trouble. And I want to tell you something. Listen, get some resolution in your life, some direction in your life, lightened up. And he remembered the deliverance. And by the way, that's his verse, is that verse right there. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. And instead of being in the federal pen all of his life, he'd been preaching the gospel all of his life. And then I want to say this to you. You talk about deliverance. And I want you to notice this word. And he said in verse number 4, I butchered this message up. It's pathetic. Verse number 4, he said he delivered him. Verse number 5, he delivered him. And you get up there in verse number, it just goes on and on about the deliverance that God has given him. In 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says this about Jesus Christ. Listen to me, and I'm going to let you out. It said, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, and in whom we trust he will yet deliver. Let me tell you what happened to you, man, when he gets saved. God delivers you from what the Bible calls so great a death. That so great a death is the second death, which is being cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. And this is the second death, being cast into the lake of fire. That's a deliverance, folks. Let me tell you what happened to me January 24th, 1982. I bowed on my knees and said, God, I'm a worthless hypocrite sinner, and I'm asking you to save me. I'm going to place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And God delivered me that night from going to hell. That's a deliverance. That is a deliverance. Now you say, Reggie, what's the second and the third one he's talking about? He said, and doth deliver. God's still delivering me today. He's delivered me. I'm not going to get into all these things, but he delivered that. So great a death is the deliverance from eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. I'm going to tell everybody listening to me this morning, if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, he'll deliver you. Now listen, I'm not against programs. I sometimes wish that we had some kind of a place that we could help people do some things that we're not doing. But I'm going to tell you, I'm a strong believer that no matter what kind of habit, no matter what kind of sin, no matter what situation in life, that God can deliver you from that. God can deliver you from that. I've seen him do it. And yet we'll deliver. You know, one of these days, this old body is going to die, go back to the dust, but God's going to deliver a new glorified body, fashioned like unto his glorified body. He delivered me from so great a death. He's delivering me today, and he will deliver me at the resurrection. And so I want to encourage you today, if you've never had that deliverance, I pray to God that you will. He delivers me. That old song says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I already have already come, and it's grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. He will yet deliver. And then finally, what David realized in verse number 7 through 10, listen to this. He said, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and deliver them. You know what David said? There's no use for me to run anymore. No use for me to get scared anymore. No use for me to worry anymore. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him And then he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Fear the Lord. Don't fear circumstances. Fear the Lord, ye his saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack, and a young lion's one who can catch a deer. He said, and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any things. Let me tell you something this morning. God will protect you. God will protect you. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. God has protected me, does protect me every day. I've said to somebody yesterday, I believe I told you, I've been dead years ago if God had not protected me. Chariots and horses of fire under his wings in the cleft of the rock. They that be for us are more than they that be against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And then he says there finally, he says in verse 9 and 10, God provides. How many has God has provided so far? Can I tell you something? He still will. He'll take you to the finish line. And this is what happened today. By this time, David's cave had been turned into a cathedral. He said, you know what? I'm going to resolve some things. I'm going to remember some things. And I'm going to realize that if God's for me, who can be against me? And I'm not living that kind of life I've lived in the past no more. It's over with and done and out of here. And I want you to go home today. I want you to resolve that God will take care of you, meet your needs, no use to fear. I want you to remember what God's done for you in the past, and I want you to realize the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and there's no want to those that fear the Lord. He didn't say greeds. He said once, let's stand. I'll tell you what, I've butchered this message up, and whew, mercy sakes alive. I don't know. Boy, sometimes preaching, it's like you're fighting in a ring or something, you know. But I love you all. I appreciate you, and I want to encourage you in the Lord. Anybody remember what I preached on? I'm trying to think. No, I'm just aggravating you. Listen, just sometimes, even in a cave, you just got to turn it into a place where you're singing and praising the Lord, honoring God, take you on through. Love you. Lord, thank you for this day. Bless these people, Lord. Lord, you know I butchered this message up. Seemed like, Lord, just flopped here and there and yonder, Lord. But God, you know what? I'm so glad, Lord, it's not me. I'm glad, Lord, that you can take your truth and you can bear it home to the heart of these people, and you can help them, God. And Lord, I just pray with all my heart. They get in a cave. They've done things, Lord, messed up, got driven by fear and circumstances and stuff, Lord, and it's hard not to, Lord. And I pray, God, in that cave, they'll do some serious, serious talking to you. And they'll resolve some things, Lord. God, they'll resolve that they're going to praise you at all times. They're going to bless your name in every circumstances. They're going to thank you in spite of all what's going on, and they're going to trust you. And then, Lord, they'll remember that you'll never leave them nor forsake them. God, that you'll provide for them. God, that you're their heavenly Father. And then, Lord, I pray that they'd realize that the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him. And they'll realize, Lord, that there's no want to them that fear the Lord. So, God, I just pray today, build these people up in faith. Because, Lord, you said the just shall live by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And, Lord, I pray, imprint and implant and engrave these truths of the word of God on the hearts of these people in my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We'll see you tonight, Lord willing. Thank you for being here.